Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers, it's been quite a while, but absolutely no time has passed for Sir Croakington, because that's our video game. Hopefully, the people on the Sarn Howl are okay, and or took a nap or something. Presumably some of them were trying to kill me, because we're near Sarngard, and someone is always. That's just how it works there. This is part 2, Shrine Isle. Danger stalks your every step on the shores of this legendary isle. At the conclusion of the previous part, together you and Al drag the boat ashore and place it behind attention to the newfound surroundings, and find that even in the darkness your forced glimpse of the rocky peak at the centre of the island, perhaps less than a mile from where you now stand, and tells you that the ruins of the ancient shrine from which the isle acquired its name are supposed to sit upon its summit. When we get to the top of that, he says, removing a small cloth-wrapped object from a pocket sewn into the inside of his vest. Ooh, prudent. You'll be looking for the engraving I mentioned. Also, the second part of this. I'll hand you the object. When you remove the cloth that covers it, you're surprised to be gazing down upon a small leather-bound book. You quickly open the book and discover its pages are covered in a script that appears to be a complex code of symbols. Your pulse begins to race when you immediately realise the contents of the book are eerily similar to the ones you possess. Yes, the leather-bound journal you discovered in Migsville before you ever set foot on Sarngard Isle. And that was probably a couple of hundred episodes back. Perhaps, I'm not sure how far back, but a long time. Al promptly snatches the book back. Yes, says Al. So he's managed to read your thoughts. It's the same bit script containing the book you found. I pray you still retain it, of course. After all, the third and final piece of a most remarkable set. And now, I told you that you need to hold on to your leather-bound journal for the time being. And you explain to you the significance of these scripts, the book these books contain once you reach the shrine, which sits perched atop a rocky peak that dominates the centre of the island. You tell him you will hold him to his promise, and you silently vow not to let the journal out of your possession until you are certain of its purpose and of your companion's intentions. As dawn's first light creeps over the horizon, you and Al set out to begin what the Master Thief has called the first part of your mission. He tells you he hopes to reach the shrine atop the rocky peak at the center of the Aar before nightfall. As the two of you make your way along the stony beach, away from the stowed craft, a sinister, wailing cry from somewhere beyond the edge of the forest rises into the air. As the eerie howl fades, Al turns to you with his eyes wide and shakes his head. "I'd rather wish I hadn't heard that," he says, stopping and staring at the line of trees bordering the beach to the north. "In fact, I can plainly say I'd have been much more eager to plunge into that wood without hearing that." A somewhat wise smile. You ask Al, he thinks it could be the legendary beast of Swinar. "Well, I can certainly hope that's not the case," he says. "I just hope that you're prepared to run if we should run into whatever that was, Sir Croakington. I can promise you'll have a lonely fight against it." "Yeah, but fair enough. I'm the fighty-fighty guy, and you're the stealthy, thievy guy." Unnerved by the strange cry, both you and Al move away from the shore and head towards the line of trees that mark the edge of the forest to the north of the stony beach. As you approach the trees, you turn and look back at the ocean. Far out of the raging waters, beyond the last of the stone teeth, sits the Sarn Howl, bobbing up and down amidst sizable offshore swells that assail its hull. You turn back towards the forest, and have taken less than 10 steps towards the wood, when a thunderous roar rises into the air. Or something like that. How to do that? Dust your voice box. Well, at least for me. It's concussive din rattling your teeth and filling you with dread as you instinctively spin to face the sea. Out of the water at the spot where the galleon known as the Sarn Howl sat only moments ago, rises a thick, black cloud of billowing smoke. Nothing remains of Captain Teldorn's tested vessel, save for the smouldering and burning wreckage now strewn across the dark, frigid waves of the Sarn. Bugger. Are we gonna... Well, I mean, firstly, a lot of people are dead, but two, how are we gonna get back? Al washes back to the shore and stands dumbfounded, the water's edge, staring out across the perilous expanse of ocean to where the shattered remains of the grand ship bob up and down on the backs of the towering swells. You rise swiftly at companion's side, and he speaks in a sullen tone, without taking his eyes off the water. "There can't be any left alive. Can there be? There just can't be." Your eyes desperately scan the horizon, seeking any sign that perhaps some of the ship's crew survived the massive fiery eruption. As your gaze drifts across the dark, churning surface of the sea, your mind races to fathom what could have wrought such swift and total destruction upon the vessel the size of the Sarn Howl. Suddenly, your eyes dart skyward, and there, far above, barely visible against the dense, grey sea of clouds, are two small black specks moving swiftly to the west. Your thoughts immediately turn to the Chilterik, and its flame wielding rider you encountered as you escaped from Sarngard. So there's two of these flaming riders. "Well, that solves the mystery, perhaps," says Al, his voice tinged with sadness as he looks across the rapidly receding specks in the sky. Looks away from the rapidly receding specks in the sky and stares out across the sea towards the wreckage of the ship. "There's something else, though. There has to be something else. If Teldorn and his crew have paid for his life with our passage, I will see to it that their deaths are avenged," says Owl, grimly narrowing his eyes as he focuses his fierce gaze on the smoking wreckage of the distant ship. I was wrong to seek passage on such a large ship. I've certainly played the part of a fool so far, Sir Grogington. And a dear friend, a good many innocent men have breathed their last because of it. An intense fire burns behind Owl's chilling stare, and in that moment you feel subtly fearful for any man unlucky enough to make an enemy of the Master Thief. You have little doubt that his angry call for vengeance against those who brought ruin upon the San Hao is no empty threat. There's nothing we can do. Let's go. As Owl turns and starts up the stony beach, you suddenly notice he is no longer limping. Maybe he had some Quebec elixirs, sorts. Maybe he has some of those Quebec elixirs somewhere on his person, hidden somewhere. In fact, there is no sign of the wound that was laid upon his leg by the archer's owl as you fled from Sarngard. Or maybe I did some sleep healing. Yeah, I guess it could happen. Disheartened by this sudden and tragic turn of events, and deeply saddened what you can only believe was the swift and utter destruction of Captain Taildorn and his crew, you and Owl slowly make your way towards the forest at the edge of the stony beach. Despite that you're no longer certain of how it is you can ever hope to get off this remote island, the two of you remain intent on reaching the shrine atop the Powering Peak and completing what Owl has called only the first part of the mission. Well, it is a proving grounds adventure, and those are pretty hefty. And I have a feeling, considering how they keep getting longer, this one's going to be even heftier than part 5. That was 12 hours? 13? I mean, it's a bit slow and you read, but I think I skipped over some bits. As you draw up to the tree line, Owl suggests you both spread out in different directions and see if there's any sort of trail or path leading into the wood. Picking a number, bonus to 40. 20 for woodmanship, 10 from aura, 10 from luck. Success, gotta get 50 or more. 56, success. 16 XP to woodmanship. If you've only just begun your exploration of the forest edge, and you make a grim discovery at the base of a large boulder, you immediately call out to Owl before alerting your companion to the gruesome sight spread out on the ground before you. Lying at your feet, only a few feet from inside the edge of the tree line, are the charred remains of 4 humans. Wait, what humans actually even go here? 3 swords and an axe lie amidst the still smouldering cinders, leaving you to believe that whatever horrid fate befell these 4 could only have occurred within the last few hours. Quite a way to meet your end, says Owl, stooping to examine the heaps of bone and ash. Strange we heard nothing, I must say, Sir Crokington. I'm beginning to dislike fire. At the very least, the war it seems to have played of late. It's almost as if there's a chorus of hisses erupts from behind you, sending a jolt down the length of your spine and causing your heart to skip a beat. Owl, taking a step back from you. Owl takes a step back and you instinctively spin in the direction of the unnerving sound, only to find yourself confronted by a loathsome and unwelcome sight. Less than 15 yards from you, their heavy plate armour, banded helms, glistening in the light of the early morning sun, are 4 Tarzal, large greenish gems set into the centre of the thick breastplates, pulled with a faint, regular glow. From beneath the shadowy overhang of their helms, stab the fierce, cool stares of the yellow reptilian eyes, the foul snake men, hiss viciously as they communicate to one another in a tongue that is utterly foreign to you. Your handiwork? Asks Owl boldly, waving his white hand in the direction of the charred remains. We left the other isle just to be rid of your sorts. Ill luck dogs us, it would seem. One of the Tazal. His silvery home striped with black slithers forward and points accusingly at Owl, his clawed hand hidden beneath this plated skin of an ornate spiked gauntlet. Silence, he hisses. The words spoken here will be mine, human. The cool yellow eyes of the helmeted Owl leader narrow, and the reptilian hisses angrily as he now apparently discerns that you and Owl are not the beings he and his kin seem to have been awaiting. More the same, he howls, halting his advance as he draws within 10 yards of you. In no service have you been brought here. It hardly matters. Remove this rubbish from my sight. The leader falls back as his three heavily armoured kin slither forward, eager to do his wicked bidding. For a fleet moment, you wonder who it was that these vicious creatures were waiting for, and if they had a hand in incinerating the bodies lying just off to your right. What happens next? Next leaves little doubt of the matter. Of the latter. As the three armatures all advance, slithering rapidly across the uneven ground, you take note of small, shining silver square set into the plated palms of their spiked gauntlets. You're wondering what the purpose behind these curious inlays is, when suddenly the foremost of the advancing Tazal thrusts his white hand out towards you, and a long bolt of crimson flame erupts from the silver square on the palm of his gauntlet. The deadly blast of fire hurtles straight for you. Alright, I've got some options now. Fortification, 60 plus. Elementalism or telekinesis at 70 plus. Or just get out of the way. Random.org gave me number 3, so telekinesis. It succeeded. 24 experience to telekinesis. You hurriedly summon your power of telekinesis and focus a powerful blast of telekinetic energy on the hurtling bolt of flame. The potent force of your projected mind over matter strikes the fiery missile head on, causing it to explode in midair before reaching you. Owl turns to shout something to you, but his cry is cut short as the master thief suddenly finds himself under attack by one of the armored snake men. Oh no! I'm not sure how good he is at melee combat. Probably fairly. He falls back several yards inside the edge of the forest before taking a bold and seemingly unarmed stand against his vicious foe. You've little time to dwell upon your companion's predicament, however, for you immediately find yourself facing the other two Tazal. The first of the fearsome pair slithers forward, its plated arms erupting into flames as it surges into melee range. The Tazal deftly strikes out at you with its fire-weaved limbs. You manage to dodge your enemy's first two blows before swiftly countering your own attack. It's an armored Tazal, but not for long. The armored Tazal swipes you through his plated, fire-weaved arms. Keep going up. Keep going. You're engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attacks. Oh no! I'm going to have to roll around to get these flames off. Keep going. Do. Go into a battle wage. Stop burning people. It's not nice. Okay? I presume they were innocent. But I mean, even if they were like super guilty, don't do the burning thing. It really hurts. Anyway, slain. 42 XP. The heavily armored Azar collapses in front of you. But before you can even attempt to catch your breath, you find yourself face to face with the second of the vicious, fire-wielding reptilians. And we're fighting it. Kill the enemy, of course. It's a Azar, so there's no real option to show any mercy. Because it's too on fire for me to even consider that. The Arbiter's Owl swipes at you with his plated, fire-weaved arms. I don't know. I don't think we've ever encountered a good Tazal in all our adventures. We found some good Catamarocs. We found a not good, but at least sympathetic Hagari. But Tazal? I think Tazal have pretty much... I think they're one of the few species that have been always chaotic evil. I mean, Otoruk are just, I guess, lawful evil? But I guess actually they're neutral, I guess. Pure neutral, because they don't really have any will of their own. They just do whatever it is that who made them told them to do. Otoruk are neutral. But they're usually aligned with evil. In fact, almost entirely aligned with evil. I guess theoretically you could get to Otoruk to do something good. But we ain't seen that yet. The Arbiter's Owl swipes you through his plated fire-weaved arms. Going, keep going, engulfed by the flames. Angry again, hey, stop setting me on fire! What? I just told you to stop setting me on fire, and then you set me on fire again. It's almost like we're fighting to the death or something. Well, but still, there's no reason to be rude. Engulfed by the flames, you only attack for another 24 hours, then 21, and then 22. So many flames, and then 20, and bash. Oh yeah, I'm still wielding the Staff of Bats, by the way. The second of the 42 experience, the second of the armored reptilians collapses to the ground at your feet and flashes about wildly for several moments before finally exploding. You quickly glance out over at Owl, only to find your companion standing over the corpse of the third Tazal, nursing a rather nasty wound on his white arm. Much to surprise, you see no sign that the Master Thief has employed any sort of weapon in this fight. I guess it's just one of our secrets. And you know what? He can keep it to himself. A wave of intense heat, coupled with a deafening roar, catches you and Owl off guard. But the two of you manage to stumble back beyond the groping fingers of a blazing inferno that swiftly engulfs the corpses of your foes. Okay, then. Whatever they're working for, they're working for someone who is very, very willing to go to whatever lengths it is required to stop it being traced back to them. In a matter of moments, only small piles of ash and the charred, empty shells of plate armour, which we're far too busy to pick up, remain to mark the spots where the three Tazal fell. In unison, the two of you turn to face the leader of the fallen Tazal. The lone remaining Tazal, leader of the three who met you at their doom at the hands of you and your seemingly unarmed companion, slivers forward and hisses angrily. You do know you're doomed, right? You're like super doomed. His bright yellow eyes narrow to slits as he casts his chilling gaze upon you and Owl in rapid succession. Without warning, his left hand sprays as it thrusts out towards Owl. The Master Feet grunts as a powerful and visible blast strikes him squarely in your chest, hurtling backwards into the base of a stunted oak. Groaning loudly and gasping for breath, Owl rolls himself into its stomach, then slowly drags himself behind a sizable flat-topped rock, effectively disappearing from view. Yeah, you stay there. I'll handle this. Hissing loudly, Tazar leader spins to face you as the broad gem set in the centre of the sun. Shining armour momentarily erupts into a brilliant green shimmer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The vicious reptilian drops his plated hands to his side and draws a three-tailed flail. Oh no, that's three tails, tails too many. You watch in horror as the weapon bursts into flame, because of course it does, in his grasp, and each of his deadly spiked heads is engulfed in a fierce, azure blaze. As your fearsome opponent slithers forward, you boldly plant your feet and assume a defiant, combat-ready stance. Your mind races. You hope that Owl has survived the devastating attack that has apparently incapacitated him. If he hasn't, you pray the impending brutal melee will give you a chance to avenge your fallen companion. And that is the end of this scenario. Plenty more to go. 384 experience to general, 64 experience to all skills and powers. Let's move on to the next one. It is the Fire Wielders. Probably Distazal, and at the conclusion of the last part, yeah, I think I'll skip that since we've literally just read it. Now, if it was a new episode, I wouldn't, but I've just read it, so no need to do that. And now, as the silver armor Tazar leader slithers towards you, you cry out an owl, more in an effort to tell him he's alive than to solicit his immediate help. Your call is answered only by the vicious hiss of your encroaching foe. Suddenly, the reptilian's eyes narrow, and without warning, a stabbing, burning pain shoots through your mind as a powerful psionic attack tears at the edge of your psyche. Picking a number, bonus of 60. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit. Got to get 100 or more, or go absolutely crazy, apparently. Pick now. 54. That's a success. In an amazing display of mental fortitude and sheer stubbornness, you're able to withstand the psychic assault and thus spare your mind the terrible damage that would likely have resulted from the powerful attack. The Shazal leader immediately thrusts out his right hand, revealing a shining silver square set into the plate palm of the spiked gauntlet that conceals his scaled hand. Blast of fire erupts from the silver square set into the Tazar leader's plated palm. The deadly flaming missile streaks towards you, hurtling directly through your chest. Now there are plenty of options here. I could use fortification at 60, telekinesis or elementalism at 70, and weaponry or any of the sub-skills thereof, including even staves, the weaponry skill that's the most difficult to get. Now, And of course, dodging. I'm going to make it roll a 1 to 5, because if we pick a weapon we skill, then I'll choose which one. 1. 1 was rolled. Fortification time. Succeeded. 16 XP to fortification. Cursor of shimmering blue sparkles swiftly materialized in front of you, taking form only a split second before the arrival of the deadly firebolt. The flaming missile explodes upon impact with your magical barrier, disintegrating into thousands of glowing cinders that land harmlessly on the ground round around you. The Zao leader hisses loudly as he again thrusts out his white hand, revealing the shining silver square set into the centre of his palm. A second blast of fire erupts from the square and hurtles towards you. Alright, it's the same options again, so I'll just roll this. I'll roll this the same number again. Alright, I've got a 3. So that makes it elementalism time. Succeeded. 24 experience to elementalism. You get a little bit more experience for using a higher difficulty challenge. Just a little bit more. And it doesn't actually affect your success. Your success, you think it would, but it doesn't. You call upon your power of elementalism, focus on your hurtling bolt of fire. With only a split second to spare, you manage to shrink the deadly flaming missile to only a small glowing ember, which lands harmlessly on the ground a few feet to your left. Desire Leader once again thrusts out his white hand, unleashing a third blast of flame from the silver square set into the palm of his spiked gauntlet. A deadly bolt of fire streaks towards you. Now, when I first did this adventure, many, many years ago, because you can see it's pretty old, it's 14,000. The only ones I had high enough level to use it were the weaponry subskills. That was a long time ago, so I forgot exactly what happens. Wanderer again, number 4. Oh, now we get to find out. So how weaponry and weaponry subskills. 1, 2, 5, 7. All right, gonna pick out of the ones I have available. Hacking and pole arms are not there, because I haven't yet got those skills, because I don't really use that type of weapon, and just because. Generate number 2. I'm gonna use weaponry skill. 4 XP to weaponry. In a masterful display of your weaponry skill, you put your chosen instrument of battle to use and manage to deflect the deadly flaming missile. So it seems you get the same result no matter what weaponry skill or sub-zero you use. Well, fair enough. I guess. I mean, if there were multiple writers, you could have, you know, slightly different text for each weaponry subskill. But when there's only one, you've got to pick where you can use your dev time. Especially since this is a single one adventure, so people won't just be able to quit without saving and see all the options. So it's quite possible he could end up writing something and nobody will ever read it. And that would just suck. Especially if it was really good and fun. Okay, probably not nobody, because I think just to fill in the wiki, I think people would eventually go through all the options, but might only be once or twice. Anyway, 64 experience to general. The Desire Leader lowers his right hand and hisses sharply as he once again begins slithering towards you. Suddenly, he stops. Yes, all of you, he hisses. and you immediately realize he is not speaking to you, but rather communicating, perhaps telepathically, with what is undoubtedly more of his dreadful reptilian kin. Only moments later, your assumption is proven true. Well, if this is all of them, once I've slashed my way through all of these, well, not slashed, staved my way through them, because I'm using the tassel off for no particular reason. Well, because I equipped it for something else a while back, and I just, it's cool. So if this is all of them, once I've cleared these out, I'll have a free one up to the shrine, and, well, other than the beast of Shrinar, but that's only one beast, I should be able to avoid it. Oh, unless those flame-wielding reptile-riding sorceresses turn up, then I'm still in trouble, no matter how many Tazal I smash up. A deafening roar and wave of intense heat causes you to lose your footing and stagger backwards as four wide columns of flame suddenly shoot up from the ground and billow into the sky. The floor blazes quickly subside, leaving their wake a like number of silver armored Tazal. Ooh, Flameport. You know, like the mysterious traveller we met in the adventure in the Mergsprawl, which we discovered was almost certainly Lucarin. The vicious reptilians immediately start towards you, slithering rapidly over the waggy ground as they close in. Your attention is momentarily drawn from your swiftly approaching foes as another broad column of fire rises into the air with tremendous roar, completely engulfing the Tazal leader. When the column vanishes, there is no longer any sign of the commander of the cruel snake men. Alright, presumably this commander is setting up some sort of trap further up. And these snake men are just the ones that were close by and handy. The foremost of the four Tazal begins to raise his plated hands. Without warning, and certainly taking him completely by surprise, one of the Tazal towards the group suddenly collapses onto the ground. The heavily armoured creature weaves about in apparent agony for several moments before becoming still. Ah, looks like I have a friend. Or a foe that just happens to be temporarily aligned with me. His vicious cohorts, including the creature whose hand was raised towards you, halt their advance and spin to see what's befallen their reptilian kin. Not me, not this time. We'll be soon, though. The three remaining Tazal begin hissing wildly as their eyes scan the trees at the edge of the forest. Wasting no time, you leap into action, intent on taking full action of them, advantage of their momentary confusion. So I've got two options, attack them or flee to safety. Once again, random.org will tell me what to do. Goes for one, looks like I'm attacking them. Yeah, I guess I don't want them to turn up later and burninate me, so just deal with them now while I have a pretty good chance. Your mind races, you ponder the best course. Course for attacking the bewildered Tazal. I could use archery to shoot them, elementalism to burn them back, illusion to trick them, telekinesis to just break them, or charge them to just Leroy Jenkins them. Charge and attack the three remaining Tazal, or think better of it and flee at once. Alright, so that's six options. Random dog, tell me what to do. Number two, elementalism. It succeeded. 16 XP to elementalism. You channel your power of elementalism, and within seconds, a raging gale has descended upon the three Tazal, bearing upon its breath a tornado of debris lifted from the forest floor. As the vicious creatures attempt to step clear of the deadly winds, you rush forward and strike the foremost of them. A well-placed and fatal blow, the cruel reptilian slumps to the ground at your feet and expires with a ragged hiss. Another Tazarl subtly collapses. The foul creature weaves about in agony for several moments before becoming still. Wow. We've got through three of them. I haven't actually entered a formal battle yet. The low remaining Tazarl, its eyes wide as it hurls its cruel, seeking gaze in all directions, throws up its arm and is immediately engulfed in a roaring column of fire. Of course, gone is nearly as good as dead. But I'll settle for that. The towering spear of flame promptly vanishes, leaving no trace of the last living Tazarl in its wake. You shield your eyes and step back to avoid the intense heat as a raging inferno quickly spins to life and incinerates the remains of the fallen snake men. After just a few moments, only the charred husks of their armour and several small mounds of ash remain to mark their passing. A sound from behind reaches your ears, and you spin around, half expecting Owl to make a timely appearance, but less than 10 yards from you, closing in swiftly, is yet another of the silver-armoured Tazarl. The hissing creature raises both its hands, revealing small silver squares set into the plated palms of its spiked gauntlets. Before you can even contemplate the next course of action, two bolts of flame tear out of the Tazarl's raised hands and streak straight towards you. All right, got all the options I had before, really. All right, yep. The fortification, telekinesis, elementalism, weaponry and subskills, and of course dodging. So once again, random.org, tell me what to do, number 1 to 5. Number 5, dodging this time. You twist to your left, boing to my left. You know, and I bounce off with just one set of legs on one side, so I kind of just jump diagonally in an attempt to dodge the two bolts of flame now hurtling straight for you. Picking a number, bonus of 49. 19 from agility, I could make that a 20, but yeah. 19 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck, 20 from woodmanship, which if I went all out with raising the skill which is currently at 79, if I went all out with that, I could and sunk most of my general experience to it, I could get that up to 25, because it's your woodmanship over 4, but that'd be a lot of pig, and it wouldn't be a huge, for a temporary bonus. Now, it's not like, say, raising your weaponry skills, where they boost your melee rating, which is, because it's good, because number bigger. Anyway, pick now. 77, success, but only dust. You dodge each fiery bolt by mere millimetres, even though you don't know what a millimetre is, because the metric system hasn't been invented yet. Eliciting an angry hiss in this world, that is, the world of Swift. Elicting an angry hiss from the armoured Tazarl. The lone Tazarl is quickly upon you, its plated arms ablaze as it strikes out at you with its burning limbs. Is this perhaps the Tazarl that fled from us earlier? And then he was like, no, you, go back. Could it be that? Maybe. Armored Tazarl. The armored Tazarl swipes out with its plated fire-weaved arms. You're engulfed by the flames of enemies, attacked for 25 damage. Yeah, it's like most fights, it's a 3+. Keep going. Bashity, go into battle wage. Hey, stop being so hard to kill. And a large swarm of vicious broad-winged bats hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. Yay, handy. Now I'm in battle wage. I'm so angry. so angry I forgot what I was angry about. Keep going, keep going, keep going, and slain. 138 combat experience and 128 experience to general. The momentary elation you experience after having defeated such a powerful and deadly foes is quickly tempered by the appearance of two more of the armoured snake men at the edge of the woods as your mind races to decide whether you will stand and face this new menace or attempt to flee. A massive, earth-shaking explosion engulfs the two Tazal, immediately obliterating the cruel duo. Thanks, I guess, whoever you are. The smoke's clear. Clear, and you find yourself shielding your eyes and falling back to avoid the intense heat as the second raging inferno springs to life and incinerates the remains of the fallen snake men. After just a few moments, only the charred husks of their armour and several small mounds of ash remain. Surprised by this strange turn of events, and also I guess one reason I'm not picking up the armour, it's probably too burned to be of any good. Unless, you know, I take it to a battle, to a blacksmith, but it'd probably be easier just to make new armour than fix that stuff. That's just how burned it is. Surprised by this strange turn of events, and what seems to be a bit of good fortune, you're about to go over and examine the piles of ash, when the sound of footfalls to your left causes you to snap your head in that direction. You find yourself looking directly into a familiar face. Is it Owl? I hope to meet you again under better circumstances, says the young woman standing before you, her eyes tightly gripping a tall wooden staff. You immediately recognise Yulari, even though she looks somewhat different than when you remember her from your last meeting, Mr. Wounds of Kerestrine. She promptly initiates your shoulder cross and tells you she's glad to have found you and glad to have been able to have lend you a hand. Realise now that it was her own fire-based magic that caused the massive explosion moments ago. You commend her on her improved abilities. Nice for you to notice, she says. Comes in fairly handy these days. As only someone like yourself could ever possibly imagine. Now, where's the owl? Uriel's inquiry about owls. Owl serves to remind you haven't seen your companion since he was struck by a mighty blow by the Tazal leader's formidable telekinetic attack. You quickly move over to the last spot in which you'd seen him, but there is no sign of the Master Thief to be had. He'll turn up, scowls out Iwali as her eyes scan the edge of the forest. Strange indeed are some of those with which our taskmaster keeps company. You ask Julia what has brought her to this isle. As if she's been here all along, she shakes her head and smiles. She shakes her head and sighs. I'm afraid our taskmaster is the very reason I've come here, Sir Croakington, the taskmaster being Thane Point. I stand here before you as the bearer of bad tidings from Sarngard Isle. But that brings us to the end of this scenario on a cliffhanger, with 512 experience in general and 64 experience to all skills and powers. Now, remember from a couple of episodes back when we set off that they were planning to kill Millinor, who is actually Thane Porrand. It's bad news about him. So they got him? Did they? Maybe? I don't know, that will have to wait to the next part, the next scenario. But we've just passed 47 minutes, so that's enough for today. And next time, we'll find out exactly what the bad news is. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.